Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. Have you ever dropped a rock into a pond? What happens? The water ripples out in little waves. That's similar to how sound works, too. Right now, my voice is coming out of a speaker and pushing the air around it, creating waves that travel through the air and into your ears. Pretty amazing, right? Today, we're going to be talking to two scientists who study really low sound waves called infrasound.
The word infrasound comes from infra plus sound, and infra meaning low frequencies. And until we put out sensors to be able to detect those sounds, we had little idea that there was a communication going on at those low frequencies.
This is Jeffrey Johnson. He's a geoscience professor and an expert on infrasound. Now, it might be hard to imagine these super low infrasounds if it's impossible for humans like us to hear them without help from special sensors. However, there are some creatures in the animal kingdom who can hear infrasound all on their own.
My study was on plant hoppers. These tiny little insects broadcast their signal into the plant, and they were trying to attract a mate.
This is Caitlin O'Connell Rodwell. She's an instructor at Harvard Medical School and has spent a long time studying animals and the way that they use infrasound to communicate with one another. Caitlin's scientific breakthroughs began when she was researching in Hawaii. She watched these little male plant hoppers search for female plant hoppers using low infrasound vibrations.
I would place a female, and it's usually a 9-day-old female that's ready to mate, so the males get very excited. And when he would search for her, it was as if he was feeling vibrations through his feet. And that's how they pick up these calls, is through vibrations on the plant, and their feet pick up the vibrations, and then they interpret them.
The male plant hoppers would strike these particular poses with one foot out ahead of their bodies on the plant, carefully feeling for the vibrations that would help them locate the female. Caitlin got really good at recognizing these poses, but she was still surprised when she saw the same type of stance with a different animal on the other side of the world. This time in a giant creature, elephants in Africa.
When I first started studying elephants in the wild, out in the middle of nowhere, I made this bizarre connection, unexpected connection between the postures that these male plant hoppers were putting themselves in, and the elephants would put themselves in a very similar posture just before the arrival of another elephant family group or some kind of seismic disturbance.
So Caitlin noticed that the elephants were striking the same pose as the plant hoppers, one leg out, trying to sense vibrations in the ground.
Just that one little aha moment got me thinking, is it possible that these elephant, very high sound pressure vocalizations, could they be in the ground and they then detecting them? And that then launched a whole 10-year inquiry into whether this was really the case.
Caitlin was able to prove that elephants use infrasound to communicate with one another. These low sounds vibrate through the ground, and elephants are able to hear and respond to them. And by hear, I mean feel, with their feet. As Caitlin tried to solve the mystery of elephant infrasound, she got to be up close and personal with these incredible creatures.
It's been 30 years that I've watched some of these elephants. It's like being an anthropologist and watching another society and how they treat each other, how they live their daily lives, and it's a real privilege to be able to do that.
While watching the elephant communities, Caitlin has found a few favorite elephant friends.
Captain Kirk is an older gentleman who's very well loved by the young males because he lets them kind of hang on him and hang their trunk over his tusk while he's trying to drink. And he's just a big old softy that these young males are thrilled to be around. And just watching, say, Big Mama, how her whole family, even if she's behind by 5 minutes because she's heavily pregnant, she's waddling around and the whole family's waiting for her. When she finally gets to the waterhole, they give her an elaborate greeting ceremony. And she was just at the back of the family. It's not like she was gone for a month.
With such wonderful personalities and relationships, it makes sense that elephants communicate with each other. However, it's incredible to think that they're able to do that through infrasound.
So an elephant vocalization, a rumble vocalization as it's called, is a low frequency signal. It's produced at 20 hertz. It's generated at 20 hertz. And so our music, our speaker systems are all rated from 20 hertz to 20,000 hertz. But most people can't hear down to 20.
So elephants create this low rumble sound that humans can't hear, but other elephants can feel.
They're creating this ripple across the surface of the earth. And as an elephant, even as an elephant walks or produces this vocalization, it's going to propagate over the surface.
Caitlin and the other scientists would test these infrasound waves on other elephant groups to see their responses.
We had to broadcast known vocalizations that we understood the meaning of through the ground and then monitor responses of different family groups of elephants as they would come into the waterhole, they would drink, and then at some random point in time, we would broadcast a signal through the ground and then see what an elephant does if they're worried is they bunch up into their tight family groups. So they would stop drinking, freeze first, which is very definitive. They all freeze and then bunch up into their tight family groups, and then they leave the water hole sooner than they would have if we didn't play this signal.
The elephants could hear from the signals that another group of elephants was coming, so they stepped out of the way. I think it's amazing that humans can detect the infrasound communications between animals. Scientists are also working to understand infrasound signals that come from non-living sources, like volcanoes. What do you know about volcanoes? Volcanoes happen when hot melted rock inside the earth, called magma, pushes up through a weak spot in the ground. For some volcanoes, lava flows out all the time. Other volcanoes have sudden explosions, called eruptions. When a volcano erupts, magma comes out as lava, along with ash, smoke, and rocks. As a scientist, Jeffrey Johnson has witnessed these eruptions up close, including on a volcano in Chile called Villarrica that erupted on March 3rd, 2015.
I was living in Chile with my family and my young children and my wife at the time. During the morning of March 3rd, I got a phone call as I was sleeping from a colleague, a Chilean colleague, who told me that I might want to think about grabbing my things and getting out of town. We did wake up the children and we put on our jeans and grabbed our passports. And then we walked out to the patio to look up at the volcano that was now erupting sky high with a lava fountain. And this lava fountain was pretty impressive. It was about 2 kilometers in height. And it was this glowing red column of violent jetting. I am pleased to report that no one was hurt by the eruption. There was a bit of damage to some roads, but it happened in the middle of the night. And no one was on the volcano itself.
Whoa, can you imagine seeing an eruption like that? Nobody wants to be surprised by a volcano. And that's where Jeffrey's knowledge of infrasound comes in. It turns out volcanoes have a voice print, like a fingerprint, that can be detected through infrasound waves.
Volcanoes project in infrasound because they're big. Bigger instruments, bigger animals, bigger geophysical phenomena produce lower frequency sounds. But it's not just the explosion that matters or the bubbling lava lake, it's the crater shape which helps to influence the types of infrasounds that we're recording.
Knowing what a volcano sounds like is important because if that sound changes, then you can predict changes that are happening to the volcano. like future eruptions.
Because of lessons learned at Villarrica, we can now look at other volcanoes and look for that particular type of precursor. For instance, a rising lava lake at Villarrica, which happened in the days prior to the March 3rd, 2015 eruption, was detectable as a change in the infrasound tones. Imagine, if you will, a lava lake which is 150 meters below the crater rim. It's bubbling away and producing sounds. And then, in the days prior to the big eruption, it starts to rise up. That 150 meters is now 100 meters, and then 80 and 70 and 50 meters. That changes the frequency of the infrasounds that are being projected out of that volcano. And we were able to observe that.
The infrasound recordings were able to capture the lava lake rising even before it turned into an explosion. As the level of the lava lake changed, the infrasound vibrations from the cavern above the lake changed too. You can replicate this at home by filling glass cups with different amounts of water. As you tap on each glass, you'll hear a slightly different tone based on the amount of water in the cup. That's what happened with the volcano infrasound vibrations too, even if it's too low for humans to hear without the help from some sensors. As Jeffrey studies volcanoes, he knows that his infrasound work is science that can help everyday people.
Volcanic eruptions are certainly one of the most impressive things that the Earth can throw at us in terms of dynamic behavior. And it's hard not to get excited when you observe an eruption or a lava flow progressing. But there are very real impacts for these volcanoes on local communities. We need to be doing science that provides value for not only the scientific community, but for the people who are impacted by volcanoes.
Whether you're studying volcanoes or elephants, infrasound is able to unlock a whole new world of knowledge. It helps scientists like Jeffrey and Caitlin find fascinating solutions to human problems, and also proves that in the natural world, there's a lot more going on than what meets the ear.
A quick word for you parents. I'm Marcus Smith, host of Constant Wonder, which is the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff kids will love too, but you may be wanting more. We've got two whole episodes devoted to Jeffrey Johnson and Caitlin O'Connell Rodwell and their differing studies of infrasound. If you want to hear the full presentations, go find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. The episodes are called When Volcanoes Whisper and Elephants Hear With Their Feet. We actually think that you'll love more than just one episode of our podcast, which is an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small. The kinds of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we suspect you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman-Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.